You'll keep your Bible open there in the scripture reading in Hebrews chapter 12. We want to look at a word there in that account of Esau that will become our lesson for today. And as Reggie has already mentioned, we're thankful for your presence and we're glad that you're here. And as we were singing Count Your Many Blessings, I was thinking about the blessings of being with my brethren on the first day of the week and how encouraging that is. And I feel very blessed to be here with you this morning. In Hebrews chapter 12, the Hebrew writer is encouraging Christians not to fall away from Christ. And it's a great book. And in this section of scripture, he encourages them not to be like Esau, who was a profane or godless person. And the text says that he sold his birthright for one mess of meat, a bowl of stew or pottage. You remember the account in Genesis chapter 25. He comes in. He's extremely hungry. The text says that he said he was faint. And his brother Jacob says, well, sell me your birthright. I'll fix you a meal. And so Esau does that and he sells his birthright. Verse 17, for you know that even when he, Esau, afterward desired to inherit the blessing. This is now two chapters later in Genesis chapter 27. He, Esau, was rejected for he found no place for a change of mind. My version has in italics to help understand in his father, though he sought it diligently with tears. In Genesis chapter 27, you remember the story how that Rebekah helped Jacob to deceive Isaac. And Isaac blesses Jacob, and then later Esau comes in, and Isaac realizes, oh, I've been deceived by Jacob. And Esau pleads with his father in Genesis 27, give me the blessing, give me the blessing. And Isaac says, no, I've already given that to Jacob. And the text says in Genesis 27 that Esau wept. But Isaac didn't change his mind. And so he was rejected. Esau was rejected, for he found no place of a change of mind in his father, though he sought it diligently with tears. But I want you to notice this morning in your Bible in verse 17, the word afterward. That is our lesson this morning. The Hebrew writer is trying to make two points. Don't be a profane or godless person and sell your spiritual birthright. It's not worth it. Don't give it up. But a second lesson that he says is that Esau afterward, he's thinking about it, he's desiring it, but he doesn't get it. And he's crying and he's weeping, but it doesn't change the situation. This morning I want to talk about afterward. This morning I want to talk about how that it is important for us to make sure that when we make our decisions, that we know what is going to come afterward. When we say things and when we do things and when we choose things, do you think about what's going to happen afterward? Do I think about what's going to happen afterward? That's our lesson this morning. Like Esau, there are many individuals today who just live in the moment. It's all about the moment. And we're going to try to learn this morning to grow and mature and use God's Word to govern our lives so that we don't have an afterward like Esau had. Because there's always going to be an afterward. You can count on it. It's a physical law and it's a spiritual law. It's just a part of the world we live in. When you hit your thumb with a hammer, there's going to be an afterward. It's going to hurt. When you go in for surgery, there's going to be an afterward, a day or two or 3 days later. It happens in the physical world. When you fall down, there's going to be an afterward. It's also true in our relationship with God. And so we're going to look this morning at some afterwards. We're going to look this morning at some things that take place afterward to get us to realize the importance of thinking in the moment and not just acting any way we want in the moment. When you say something, something's going to happen afterward, good or bad. When you choose something, something's going to happen afterward, good or bad. When you think or do or choose or say something, there's going to be an afterward. And Esau was just living in the moment in Genesis 25, and I'm all hungry, and if this is what it takes to give away my birthright, just give me something to eat. And the text says in Genesis 25 that when he got done eating, he went up and walked off. He wasn't thinking afterward. And so this morning I want us to be controlled by God's Word to the point that before we make a decision, particularly important decisions in life, and when we say things to people, think about what's going to happen afterward. Do you know, if you're not convinced of that, and I'm sure you are, but in case we weren't convinced of that, do you know that you're living in an afterward right now? You know that? Choices have been made a few months back. Decisions have been made a few months back. Have you bought gas lately? Do you know that that's what's going on? People have made decisions in the past, and gas is higher. People have made decisions in the past, and we're having a hard time getting workers. And when you go to the store, things are higher. It affects our economy. We're living in an afterward right now because somebody, months ago, have made decisions and choices. It's real. Whenever there are decisions and ideas and ideologies and thoughts, and then they're implemented, there's going to be an afterward, good or bad. And the same is true in our relationship with God. The same is true with our parenting, how we're raising our children. There's going to be an afterward. In our marriage, what we're doing in our marriage, how we're raising our children, the decisions, the things we say, the things we do, there's going to be an afterward. And I want us to learn from God's Word this morning what some of those are. To help us say and do and think and choose the right thing and have the right ideas and have the right concepts. So that when the afterward comes, and it will come, it will be that which is good and pleasing in the sight of God. You know, Esau wasn't the only individual that lived in the moment. I think of Noah. When he gets drunk in Genesis chapter 9, he had spent a good part of his life obeying God and following the pattern and building the ark. But he was living in the moment and he got with his wine and he's thinking about how good that tastes and how that it makes him feel. And he's not thinking that afterward he's lying in a tent naked and exposed to his family. He's not thinking about that. He's just thinking about, I want something to drink. Living in the moment. We just talked about Esau. I'm hungry. And I've gotten before where I've been very hungry. But he could have fixed a meal. He could have waited a little bit. He could have taken care of that. In fact, in Genesis 27, it says that he did fix the meal when he came in. He can fix a meal. He just didn't want to wait. Living in the moment, and we've got to learn not to do that. That's what the world does. Just get up, live in the moment, que sera, whatever will be. Well, don't worry about down the road. Don't worry about tomorrow or next week or next month. Just do what you want to do now. But God is trying to tell us about the afterward before the afterward comes. That's
That's the wisdom of God. The book of Proverbs and these examples that we're looking at this morning, the reason we have them in our Bible is God is trying to tell us that the afterword is coming before it gets here to help us navigate life. I think of David in 2 Samuel chapter 11. I see this woman and she's beautiful and I've got to have her and his mind is on that. Well, he goes in and commits adultery with Bathsheba. But then there's the afterward. And that is, well, how can I cover my tracks? And so, let's see if I can get Uriah killed. And let's put him on the front lines and then withdraw the army. And then that'll expose him. And it worked. He died. But we're just living in the moment. I've got to have this sexual gratification. We could add Achan to the list. I don't have him on the PowerPoint. We could add Achan in Joshua chapter 7. He's going through Jericho there. They're told not to take anything. He's going through Jericho and he sees this Babylonian garment and some money and he takes it. All he's thinking about is, I want that. He took it. He coveted it. He's living in the moment. And then there's an afterword. You know what the afterword is? It's called Joshua 7 when they tried to go up against Ai and they get defeated. Well, there's an afterword. Yeah. Because there was sin in the camp. Oh, I didn't think about that when I saw the garment and the... Yeah, that's the whole point. The devil wants us to just live in the moment and not think down the road. One of the greatest things as parents that we can do for our children is to raise them to think about that their choices and their ideas and their thoughts, they have consequences and something is going to happen afterward. One of the greatest things we can do for our kids is teach them that. And of course, practice that ourselves as adults. But responsibility and accountability and what's going to happen afterward, that's not being taught today. And so all over our country, and we're going to talk about this tonight with regard to who is my neighbor, how we need to treat each other. We're losing sight in our country about how to just nicely treat people with civility. What's being taught today is you just go out and you just act any way you want and don't worry about what comes later. We need to get back to teaching the afterword. We come to the New Testament. The prodigal son. That's all it is. Give me my inheritance. Give me, give me, give me. The father, the parents work hard. They save. They get up and go to work every day. They work hard. They save. They're responsible. They're not wasteful. And at the end of their life, they have this inheritance. But you give it to the kid, well, I'm going to go blow it. And that happens all the time. People, sometimes younger generations, will tear down or squander because they didn't work for it. It's easy to squander somebody else's hard-earned money. And we're seeing that in our nation. It's easy to tear down a nation if you never did anything to build it up. It's easy to tear down the local church if you never did anything to build it up. And so he gets this inheritance, and what does he do? He goes out and he lives in the moment. I just want to spend it. Go on a spending spree. And his brother says that he even spent some time with the harlots. So that was on his mind. Well, he wasn't thinking about the afterward. He wasn't thinking about sitting there with the pigs. Well, that's not on my mind. Because we're not thinking about the afterward, and we need to. I think about Peter. Peter, great qualities in Peter. But on the night that the Lord was betrayed, he's sitting there warming his hands by the fire of those who don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. The text says that he followed from afar. He doesn't want to be closely identified with Jesus. And at the moment when he's pressured, do you know this guy? He says, I know not the man. He's just trying to save his own hide. He's trying to take care of himself. How can I get out of this bind? And three times he denies the Lord. Turn with me to Luke's account. Do you remember what happened
afterward? Well, you mean there was an afterward? Oh yeah, there's always an afterward. And young people, I want you to hear that. There is always an afterward in the physical realm and also in the spiritual realm. And so he denies the Lord three times. Look at verse 62. And he went out and wept bitterly. Oh, I didn't think about that. That when I get a chance later to think about it, I should not have done this. He's my Lord and Savior. I walked on the water with this guy, and I just denied him. And he wept bitterly. We're going to talk in just a moment about the afterword of regret. And this would be an example of that. Brethren, God tells us in His Word all kinds of things in order for us to learn the afterword before it gets here. But if we won't learn that, then we stumble into those same things that cause problems in our life. In Galatians chapter 2, Peter was eating and socializing with some Gentiles, but when some Jews showed up, he's just living in the moment. Oh, I've got to act now like I don't like these Gentiles, just to live in the moment. He's not thinking that he's acting hypocritically, and he even took Barnabas away. Barnabas followed his example. He's not thinking about any of that. He's just thinking, how can I, because I fear the Jews, how can I make them happy in this moment? Our words, our thoughts, our choices, our ideas, our ideologies, they all have an afterword. So let's learn that. We could add in here, I thought about this later, Mark chapter 6, Herod. Do you remember Herod and John the Baptist? So John the Baptist says to Herod and Philip's wife, it is not lawful for you to have her. And she didn't like that. She didn't like being taught that she was in an unlawful marriage. And later the text says that Herodias' daughter was dancing, and Herod's looking at her, and he says, I'll give you whatever you want, up to half of my kingdom. He's living in the moment. He likes the way she looks. Wow. His self-control, and he's losing his inhibitions. His self-control is breaking down because he's just living in the moment. Wow, I like that. Whatever you want, I'll give it to you up to half of my kingdom. It got a preacher killed. It got a great man of God beheaded. And the text says he wouldn't take it back because of his oath. There's an afterword now to what we do. And so let's make sure that when we understand that principle, that the afterword is always going to be what is pleasing to God. And so, it happens all the time. We live in a world of instant gratification, and we've got cell phones and other kinds of stuff that just give us stuff so instant that if we're not careful, we are conditioning ourselves to have everything instant. And that's how we're planning our life out, and we're not thinking about what's coming later. Spin, spin, spin. I just got to have it. Spin, 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 spin. And then the afterword of debt sets in, and I'm having trouble paying off the card. And I'm having to work more, and there's some things that I can't have now because of that. Debt. Debt. People spend all the time. They're not thinking about the afterword of debts and payments. The proverb talks about the borrower is slave to the lender. We're not thinking about that. Sexual immorality. Go out on a date. I got to engage in sexual immorality. I'm not thinking about the sin that I've committed or the baby that comes later or something like that. There have been a lot of people who have engaged in that type of thing, and then the baby comes along, and so the couple says, well, let's get an abortion. So they go get an abortion,
And there are a great number of studies now showing that many, a large percentage of the women have a high rate of depression and despondency after that. I just killed a child that was in my womb. And the pro-abortion people don't like that to be publicized because they don't want you to know that there's a high level of regret after those kinds of choices.
Unlawful marriages, people engage in that because they're just in love at the moment. I'm in love, I'm in love, I'm in love. Okay? And then they find out afterward there's a problem. Not just with God and an unlawful, sinful marriage, but with other problems. Fits of rage, we don't control our temper, we don't control this or that. You ever had to take anything back after you said it? You ever had to do that? What happens? There's an afterward. People rush to judgment all the time. Have you ever heard that expression, eating crow? People rush to judgment all the time. It goes on all the time. And then later, now today, people don't even eat crow anymore. They just act like it never happened. But in the old days, when you found out that you rushed to judgment, you apologized and said, well, you know, I shouldn't have said that. They don't even do that today. They just move on. We'll talk about that some more tonight. So let's look this morning then at some afterwards in the Word of God that we need to be learning about. I put the first one, I believe it's one of the most important ones, and that is the afterword of consequence. You hit your thumb with a hammer, it's going to hurt. That's a consequence. Actions and ideas have consequences, and we're living through some of those now in our economy. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17. We need to be teaching our children that when you go out and say and do and tweet and text and this and that, there's going to be consequences to that, good or bad. Not, they don't always have to be bad. It could be good or bad, but there's going to be consequences. In Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 17, bread of falsehood, this is a person who lies, goes about lying all the time. Bread of falsehood is sweet to a man. Boy, it's sweet when you tell the lie on the front end. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. It's talking about consequence. You go out lying all the time, it might be like some nice bread, but afterward it's going to be like eating gravel. That hurts. There's consequences to that. There's consequences to behavior. That's not being taught today. Look at chapter 28 and verse 23. Chapter 28 and verse 23. This is a good consequence of something that happens. It doesn't always necessarily have to be a bad consequence. He that rebukes a man shall afterward find more favor than he that flattereth with his tongue. It's better just to be straight with someone and be honest and open with them, even though if it hurts a little bit on the front end, because afterward, it's going to help that person. And they will actually come to you and thank you for being straight with me, rather than falsely flattering someone. Our discipline, back in Hebrews chapter 12, when God disciplines us, afterward it yields peaceable fruit. When we go through the different challenges in life, all chastening seems for the present to be not joyous but grievous, but afterward it yields peaceable fruit. Sometimes the consequence is that we're going through a difficult time now and it makes us better down the road. But consequences. When you say and do and think and act and have ideas, ideas have consequences. It's all around us. Let's make sure that our consequences, what's going to come up after what we choose to say and do and think and so forth, is that which is right in the sight of God. I read in my Bible about the afterword of regret. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 24 and verse 5. You may recall there the account of where Saul and David are in the same cave. Turn over there. There's the afterword of regret. We don't need to live in the moment and engage in some sinful activity Because I guarantee you, it might happen later in the day, the next day, later in the week. It's going to happen to where you're going to think back on that and you're going to wish you hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have said that. I wish I hadn't have done that. God gives us a conscience. That's what happened to Peter. He denies the Lord three times. He's confident. I know not the man. And at some point later, and it didn't take long, he went out and wept bitterly. Judas did the same thing. He's thinking, money, money, money. 30 pieces of silver. I can be rich. And then later he comes and throws it back and he goes out and ends his life. What happened to David? Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. David is so close to Saul, so close that he can cut off part of his garment. That's how close he is. Picking up the reading in verse 4. The men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which Jehovah said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, and thou shalt do him as it may seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, Jehovah forbid that I should do this thing unto my Lord Jehovah's anointed to put forth my hand against him, seeing he is Jehovah's anointed. It seemed like a good idea at the time. But afterward, I should not have done that. As bad as Saul is acting all throughout 1 Samuel, he's the Lord's anointed, and I don't need to lower myself to his standard. Two wrongs don't make a right. Look at verse 7. So David checked his men, my version says, he checked his men with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. Do you know that when we learn the lessons of afterward, it can also help us to teach others, don't do what I did. He checked his men. He stayed them. He stopped them from doing a similar type of thing. He learned his lesson. Turn with me to Matthew 21 and verse 29. Jesus teaches the parable of a father who had two sons and he told them to go work in the vineyard. One of them said, I'll go, but then he didn't go. And that happens today. People have great ideas about serving the Lord, and then they change their mind for the worse. But then there's this son who said he wouldn't go, verse 29, and he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented himself and went. There's the afterward of regret. This is the word repent in the sense of regretting something. So young people, when you're going to say or do or act, or those of us who are older, let's not have that afterward moment of regret. Knowing that that's going to come, let's just not do that in the first place. God's wisdom is trying to help us stay away from those things, so that there's no afterword of regret. I read in my Bible about the afterword of priority. Turn with me to Proverbs 24 and verse 27. We need to learn that there are important things in life, and those important things in life are not revolving around the material. We need to get our life right with God. That's what's most important. If you ask a young person today, well, what's most important to you? Well, my phone and my clothes and my Nintendo or whatever it is, my Wii, my video games, my money, my car. We've got to learn that there are spiritual important things that we take care of first, then afterward we can take care of that which is less important. The afterward of priority. Proverbs 24 verse 27 talks about priorities. Prepare thy work without. This is talking about getting your fields ready, getting your crops ready, and make it ready for thee in the field, and afterwards build thy house. Read that again. You're thinking, wait a minute now. If I had to choose between planting a field
and building a house, I'm thinking build the house first. Because night's coming, you know, it's going to be cold and stuff. Build your... No, it's the other way around. It doesn't matter if you have a house to live in if you can't eat. Plant your field first, and then afterward build your house. The principle is simply that there are certain things in life that are more important. And when we apply that spiritually speaking, we need, if we get on up in age, we need to obey the gospel. That becomes first. Afterward, there's time for this, and there's time. Obey the gospel, become a faithful Christian, live faithfully, worship the Lord first on each first day of the week. Do some things first. Afterward, you can watch the ball game. Afterward, you can go do this. But do the important things in life first. When Jacob was trying to reunite with Esau after years of being divided, Jacob says, I'm going to send my brother a gift first, and then afterward, we will come along. Smart guy. He knew what the priority was. The afterward of priorities. But what happens today is we get it reversed. It's job first, and money first, and the car, and the house, and my phone, and my clothes, all that's first. And then afterward, I might be able to obey the gospel. Afterward, I might come to the gospel meeting. Afterward, I might attend on Wednesday night. Afterward, I might come. No, it needs to be the other way around. There'll always be things that come afterward. Let's get our priorities right and put the Lord first, as I'm sure you want to do. I think about in my Bible the afterword of order. There are so many examples of this. I just chose one this morning to illustrate it. But turn with me to Leviticus chapter 16. God has a proper order. Certain things need to come first. And similar to our last point, certain things need to come first, and then afterward other things can be done. In Leviticus chapter 16, verse 26, with regard to many of the sacrifices that were made at that time. And he that lets go the goat for Aziel shall wash his clothes. This is the annual ritual of atonement, Day of Atonement. He shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. And the bullock of the sin offering and the goat of the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, shall be carried forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire of their skins and their flesh and their dung. And he that burneth them shall wash his clothes and bathe his flesh in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. There are some things that must take place first before something else can take place. We have to obey the gospel first, and then afterward we can be clean and have fellowship with God's people. There are things that have to be done in a proper order. Following God's word is important. You can't just do it willy-nilly. You can't just do whatever order you want. If somebody said, well, I'll come into the camp first and then later bathe. And no, you can't do that. Follow God's order. Follow God's order. There are some who teach today that you become a Christian by faith only, and then sometime afterward, you're baptized. No, you got that out of sync. Got that out of order. Got to get the order right. It's very important. God's pattern and God's order is important. First thing to Genesis 15 and verse 14, there's the afterword of divine judgment. This is one thing that many people today are extremely not thinking about. Brethren, there's going to be an afterword of judgment. We can't just live today, and it's all about today. It's about today. No, it's about today, yes. But there is going to come an afterward. There is going to come a judgment day. And if I'm not ready for that, I need to change that immediately.
In Genesis chapter 15, when God is making promises to Abraham, look at what he says with regard to the children of Israel in Egypt. Jeremiah 15, 13. Know of a surety that thy seed shall be sojourners in a land, Israel, in Egypt, that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation, Egypt, whom they shall serve, will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance.
I've got some plans in the future. They're going to go down and serve them. But afterward, they're going to come out. That's the great Exodus. But there's a judgment in there. Of course, we know that to be the 10 plagues and those types of things.
Look at Exodus chapter 11 and verse 1. These passages in the Old Testament deal with God's judgment on Egypt and other nations. There's an afterword of judgment. Moses said unto Moses, yet one more plague will I bring upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards, he will let you go from here. Same thing in Joshua 24 and verse 5, Jeremiah 21, 7. Look at Jude 5, when the Israelites were coming out of Egypt. They're coming out of Egypt, and we read, for example, in the book of Exodus and some places in the book of Numbers where they have come out of Egypt and they're just living in the moment. They're murmuring and complaining. We don't have anything to eat and we don't have anything to drink and all of that. And they weren't thinking about the afterward. Look at Jude 5. Now I desire to put you in remembrance, though you know all things, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy coming out of the land of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea. Everybody's happy, excited, following the Word of God. But then you have the afterward. Afterward destroyed them that believed not. Oh, the afterward of judgment. I'm just thinking about the moment. I'm hot and it's dusty and dirty and I'm complaining about this and complaining about that. Afterward, He destroyed them. Divine judgment. After He saved them, He destroyed them.
And we've got to have that on our radar.
Because there's a great day coming. And it could be today. You know, sometimes the afterward could be immediate. When you hit your thumb with that hammer, it's pretty immediate, isn't it? There's divine judgment coming, brethren. And let's make sure that we are on the right side of that judgment. And if we're not, make that change before it's too late. There is coming this afterward. It's either Jesus coming again or us dying. Either way, we're going to face the afterward of judgment. And then last of all, look with me. Well, a couple more points. Look with me at Matthew chapter 25 and verse 11 and then we'll wrap up. There's what I want to call the afterword of delay. This is the person who's not ready for the judgment day. You remember the parable of the 10 virgins, the 5 wise who were ready when the bridegroom or Jesus comes in judgment, and then the 5 foolish virgins who weren't ready. They didn't have enough oil, and when they went away to buy some more oil, the bridegroom comes, that's Jesus coming, and these people aren't ready. And then read in verse 11, and afterward came also the other virgins saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. So they've delayed. They've not prepared themselves. They've not obeyed the gospel and been baptized into Christ, or as an unfaithful Christian have come back in some way. That they've delayed all of that, procrastinated, off doing other things. Jesus comes, and then afterward, they want in, open to us, and it is told them no. So, there may be those on the judgment day saying, open to us, open up the doors of heaven. And Jesus is going to say no. We've got to be ready. And then last of all, to end on a positive note, turn with me to Psalm 73 and verse 24. We need to remember the afterword of eternal life. Psalm 73, verse 24. This life is not all there is, and that's why we don't need to be living in just the moment. There's a number of reasons why we don't need to live in the moment, but this life is not all there is. Have you seen the billboard coming out of Nashville on I-24 to come up to Clarksville? Have you seen that billboard on the left? I'm seeing some people do this. Have you seen that? Bold as it can be, there is no afterlife. And it's basically saying, get all that you can now. Live your life to the fullest now. There is no afterlife. Really? That's what we need to be telling thousands of people that see that every day. Really? That's going to help us? But that's the atheist message. Some unbelieving atheist skeptic group plastered that up there, and they have a right to do that. But that's what the devil wants all those people to believe as they drive by. Live any way you want now. You got one life. Live it any way you want because there's no afterlife. That's a lie. And we need to get back to what the psalmist said in Psalm 73 and verse 24. Thou wilt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. That's the way we need to live. I'm going to follow God's word now. And when I die, afterward, I get to go to heaven. Well, I hope that has helped us this morning to make sure never, like Esau and these others, just to live in the moment, but understand the afterward of consequence and regret and all of these things that we've talked about. It will come. Let's make sure that we're living in such a way that when it comes, and it will, that we are ready and right with God. If we can help you to do that, let us help you to do that. When we're young, we tend to live in the moment. I get that. I've done that before. But as we get older, hopefully we are growing and maturing and realizing that there's always going to be that afterward. If we can help you to make your life right, why won't you come as we stand in this position?